Good evening. The Really Planning Special Meeting is now in session. It's 5 p.m. Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. And Commissioner Hudson, would you lead us in a flag salute, please?
Glad to. Ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce a newly appointed planning commissioner. Most friends call him Bill, but let me introduce to you Bill William Conrad. Thank you.
Can you give us a little background on yourself, Bill?
Well, I was born in San Francisco, lived there for about 2 weeks. I was adopted, brought to Fresno County, picked up by my parents, Marjorie and Vernon Conrad. I lived in the outskirts of Reedley all my life until about 7 years ago. My wife and I decided to move into town. My dad has always been political, been on many boards, ending up as Fresno County Board of Supervisors for 3 terms. And people would always ask me, when am I going to follow in his footsteps? And I said, well, I always want to make my own footsteps. So a little late in the game, but I'm here I am.
Glad to have you. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
And just to note, Commissioner Conrad, his oath of office was already done, so he is officially in.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Great. Awesome. I missed that, and I'm sorry. I was that much late getting there. I almost made it. So anyhow, I wanted to be there to support Mr. Conrad. May we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Barcelos?
Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Here.
Chair Perez.
Here.
And Chair Commissioners Barcelos and Custodio are excused.
Okay, thank you very much. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the Commission not to answer any questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's Office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, the members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Commission as each item is brought up for discussion. So, is there any other comments from any of you that doesn't pertain to anything that we have here? Noting that there is no comment, we will close the public comment portion of this meeting. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action. And the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. And we have one item on the consent agenda. What are your wishes, commissioners?
I would move that we approve the minutes.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Going on to item number 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to do a roll
call. Yeah, roll call.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Administrative business. Consideration of the Sphere of Influence Expansion Application 2018-1. The resolution number 2018-15. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. A. Recommend that the City Council finds that no environmental document is required for this project pursuant to California Environmental Quality Act guidelines, Section 151, 62 and 15168C2, as determined in Environmental Assessment Number 2018-17. B, recommend that the City Council approve the Sphere of Influence Application Number 2018-1, thereby directing staff to request a Sphere of Influence expansion through the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission, known as LAFCO. So, who's going to do it?
I'll take that one.
All right.
Chairman, thank you very much. The item before us today is consideration of Sphere of Influence Expansion Application Number 2018-1. This is to thereby direct staff to request a Sphere of Influence expansion through the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission, commonly referred to as Fresno LAFCO. Okay, what we're looking at for the expansion to the city's sphere of influence is approximately 120 gross acres, and that is split between the northern and eastern portions of the city of Reedley, 80 acres on the north side of South Avenue at the intersection of Frankwood and South Avenues, and 40 acres on the north side of East Manning, west of the Zumwalt Avenue alignment. That is just east of where the annexation just happened for Manning and Buttonwillow, right at the intersection right there. So the 40 acres just to the east of that area. The area total consists of three APNs, which are listed on the printout here. This request is consistent with the expansion that is identified both in the Reedley General Plan update, of course analyzed within the Reedley General Plan Program EIR, and within the executed City of Reedley, County of Fresno Memorandum of Understanding. It is a required item for us to maintain with the county in regards to future annexation activities. So I think first we wanted to talk about what a sphere. First, let me make sure I point out SOI. You'll see that acronym a lot. That simply stands for Sphere of Influence, but we'll use it. Sphere of Influence is the long term, so you'll typically see SOI utilized as the acronym there. First, to understand what an SOI expansion does not do. So it does not impact the underlying general plan designation. Your sphere of influence is outside of your current city limit, therefore it does not have a zoning designation attached to it, but it will have a general plan designation if it falls within the area that your general plan analyzes. So expanding or even bringing back your sphere of influence line, for that matter, does not impact the underlying general plan designation. It also does not change the jurisdiction of the county and the city land, so there is no change. County land does not become city land by having any expansion to your sphere of influence. What your sphere of influence expansion does do is that it allows for the future annexation activity to be considered at that area. And an important note that I want to point out there is that all future activities that would require annexation, general plan amendments, conditional use permit, whatever it would be, starting with annexation, anything at that time would then require an environmental analysis for that individual project. But a sphere of influence expansion, if analyzed in your general plan EIR as ours was, does not require any additional environmental work. And then it's just, here's a graphic representation of the areas. This map is actually from the executed and adopted MOU that we have with Fresno County. It's going to show the two areas. First, we have up at the north right there, two 40-acre parcels on both sides, east and west, of the northern side of South Avenue at Frankwood. Oh, sorry, bounced through that a little faster. And then we have the 40 acres just to the east of the acres that was just annexed in associated with the United Health Centers project. So we did conduct an environmental assessment on this project, and we found that no new effect could occur beyond those that were already identified and analyzed within the General Plan Update Program EIR. And as a result of that, no new mitigation measures would be required for this project beyond any of those that were already set forth within the mitigation monitoring program that has been accepted and adopted. So no new environmental document is going to be required for this action. However, we will take one further step with this one, and we will be filing a notice of determination for such finding to be utilized by Fresno LAFCO once we hand in the application to them they, as a responsible agency, will utilize environmental documentation that was done before, and they have requested that we file a notice of determination, which just simply is an official notice that goes to the state to let them know what our finding was. Not something that we're required to do for a no finding, but something that can be done so that they have something dated more recent to utilize. Okay, so the LAFCO application and processing fee equals $14,400. That's determined by LAFCO by acreage is the way that they break that up. Fair share portions of that, which is also based upon acreage, is recovered by the fees that are paid by applicants at the time that annexations happen in the future. So we're going for a little bit larger expansion here, and we'll explain that in a moment. Typically, you'll go for an expansion area that just matches the you know, if someone's bringing forth a project, you would simply go for an expansion area that matches that project. We're going to talk a little bit why we decided to go a bit bigger here. So originally, we budgeted for the SOI expansion costs in our 2018 and 19 budget. But what ended up happening is we very quickly learned as we got into the newly minted and still ongoing adjusted MSR process with Fresno LAFCO, that it has gone from what had been a 10 to 15 page document in the past to well over 100 pages now. And the amount of time, the amount of data, and everything that they're asking for is much, much more intense than it had been in past SOI expansion opportunities that we had gone through. So as a result of that, we adjusted our project scope to really try to maximize what we were going to be able to take out of the MSR process. And an MSR stands for a Municipal Service Review. That's a document that we have to deliver, or that LAFCO, actually is supposed to put together. And that's every time they'll deal with an SOI expansion, a Municipal Service Review to show that your city has the capacity to appropriately grow and provide services into an area that you are seeking expansion for. You need to be able to show that you have that capacity and that you can be able to provide such services. Every time you look for an SOI expansion, they will require a new MSR to be done. Because of how intense the MSR process was, we elected to ask for a little bit more land than just something that would match project by project. So we wanted to try to capture more of the economies of scale, maximize the MSR that we could to the best of our ability, and hopefully be better prepared for future development. As a result of that, obviously, the cost went up. What we know that we would be paying was roughly about half of what the fee would have been if we had gone just project by project. But like I said, economies of scale, of course, will kick in there because we won't have to go back through the MSR process again. So we'll be able to save significant time and dollars there. But as a result, staff intends to approach the City Council with a budget amendment not to exceed $7,500 for the final SOI expansion costs, and that's to get up to that $14,400 because we budgeted for almost half that. That's not something you guys need to approve tonight. I just wanted to make sure that we're very clear and transparent about the fact that we will be seeking that. All that said, staff recommends that the Planning Commission, through Resolution 2018-15, take the following actions. A, to recommend that the City Council finds that no new environmental document is required for this project pursuant to California Environmental Quality Act guidelines, sections 15162 and 15168C2, as determined in Environmental Assessment number 2018-17. And B, recommend that the City Council approve Sphere of Influence application number 2018-1, thereby directing staff to request a Sphere of Influence expansion through the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission, or LAFCO. That concludes staff's presentation. Happy to answer any questions that you have.
Commissioners, any questions for staff?
You said back on the environmental assessment page that the staff will file a notice. What triggers, and you sounded like that isn't necessarily a normal thing.
Yeah, it's not a requirement.
What triggers it then?
It was actually the request from Fresno LAFCO.
Oh, okay.
So when they take their item forward, they asked if we would file something that would simply give them another document to be able to utilize for their environmental purposes. So they will utilize environmental documentation that has been done by the other agencies wherever they can. And that, of course, is limitations on their staff and the time and cost associated with it.
Okay.
concerns, commissioners?
No.
No, I'm good.
You good?
Okay, this being a public hearing, we're going to open up the public hearing portion of the committee. So if anybody wants to stand up and voice their opinions, this is the time to do it. This is for you gentlemen, if you have any questions or concerns about these actions. If not, I will close the public hearing. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action in adopting A and B here and application 2018-1, and we will do that through the resolution 2018-15. So I ask you folks what your wishes are.
I would move that we approve resolution number 2018-15. And that encompasses both A and B?
A and B, yes.
Okay.
I'll second.
Thank you. Call.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Going to item number 3, consideration of annexation application number 2017-1, general plan amendment application number 2017-1, change of zone, pre-zone application number 2017-1, and tentative subdivision map number 6178.
Chair, and before you read the many sub-items we have here, I did just want to point out a typo on the agenda. The lettering for the sub-items for staff's recommendations, it started at C. So it went C, D, E, F, G, H. I do want to point out that in the staff report, it starts at A and goes to F. So just wanted to clear that up. So in staff's recommendation, I'll refer to the A through F. Just wanted to point that out. The formatting happens when you don't want it to, but when you don't want it to happen, it happens. So that's kind of what happened. So if you could, Chair Perez, if you could read the contents of resolution 2018-16, please.
Thank you. Through resolution number 2018-16, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. C, recommend to the City Council adoption of the mitigated negative declaration dated on November 8, 2018. Prepared for annexation application number 2017-1, general plan amendment 2017-1, change of zone, pre-zone, application number 2017-1, and tentative subdivision map number 6178. I just noticed something here.
Oh.
It goes from A.
That was the notation
okay,
that she made
no,
before.
No, I apologize. I was ahead
okay.
of my alphabet here.
Right, yeah, either way. Yeah, the main takeaway is that all of the recommendations are consistent throughout.
Right.
So the resolution 2018-16 does cover all of those items.
Mm. And action number D, recommend to the City Council approval of annexation application number 2017-1, which proposes to annex a subject territory 40 gross acres into the city of Reedley and detaching from the county of Fresno, the Fresno County Fire Protection District, and the Kings River Conservation District. E, recommended to the City Council approval of general plan amendment application number 2017-1, which proposes to reclassify a 40-acre parcel from 20 acres of low-density residential and 20 acres of medium-density residential to 37 acres of low-density residential and 3 acres of the neighborhood commercial. F, recommend to the City Council approval of change zone, pre-zone application number 2017-1, which proposes to pre-zone a 40 gross acre parcel to 37 acres of R-1-6 single family residential and 3 acres of CN neighborhood commercial zone district designation in preparation for annexation. Consistent with the proposed amendment, amended Reedley 2030 general plan. G, recommend to the City Council approval of tentative subdivision map number 6178, which proposes to subdivide the 40 gross acres into 150 single-family lots and 3 acres of commercial land. H, recommend that the City Council of the City of Reedley submit a reorganization application to the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission. With that, I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. So we have 5 applications before you this evening that Chair Perez had just explained, to provide more project background info, the project location is in the northern sector of the city of Reedley. It's on the northeast corner of South Frankwood Avenue and East South Avenue. The property is 40 gross acres, and it is currently agricultural land. The image that you see up on the screen, the white dashed square, shows the subject property and the existing conditions as they are now. And it should be noted that to the south and adjacent to the property, there is an existing subdivision that is part of the Reedley city limits. So this is the same area, but with the general plan designations on it. The property is currently outside of the Reedley city limits, and the city limits are shown with the red line on the screen. So it is directly adjacent to those, and the property is currently outside of the Reedley's adopted sphere of influence. But Rob's previous item that was addressed, item number 2, is moving forward with the intent to amend the sphere of influence to include this property in it. And the current designations are low density residential and medium density residential. So one of the 5 applications that we go through for this property is an annexation application into the city of Reedley, and then specifically that also means detaching from the County of Fresno, the County of Fresno Fire Protection District, and the Kings River Conservation District. So I did just want to clarify that the property will still be within the County of Fresno, but the providing of services, police, fire, and municipal services, storm drain, water, sewer, that will all be provided by the city of Reedley. So it'll still be in Fresno County, but it'll be within the city of Reedley jurisdiction. Just wanted to clarify that. It's not going to be a county island. So in order to annex property into the city, we go through the standards of annexation, which include compliance with the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Local Government Reorganization Act and the County of Fresno and City of Reedley's Memorandum of Understanding. So the main goals for the CNH, Local Government Reorganization Act, is to discourage urban sprawl, encourage orderly governmental boundaries, and to preserve open space and prime agricultural lands. So going back to this slide here, the gray box is showing where the property is, and then the dashed line is showing the current Reedley city limits. So the fact that the property is directly adjacent to city limits shows that it is orderly growth and development. It's a logical growth once the city is essentially built out. And we are there right now. We're over 80% developed with residentially zoned land. And we're also there with commercial land as well. So the city, in order to provide more amenities and more housing for its citizens, it does need to expand. And so the way that the city intends to do that is through orderly development by developing next to current city limits. And one of the main requirements of the MOU with the County of Fresno is that imminent development occur on the property. And what that means is you can either have an approved subdivision map or an approved site plan for 25% of the property. So in this case, as you'll see momentarily, that we have 100% of the property and is intended to be developed. So we do exceed that requirement there. Moving on to the general plan amendment application. So the
The proposed amendment is to have 37 acres of the property be low density residential and about 3 acres be neighborhood commercial. And in order to look at and potentially approve general plan amendment applications, we have to look at the Reedley general plan goals, policies, and objectives to make sure that they still match, even if the colors on the map change and they're developed a little bit differently. So staff does believe that these general plan goals, that it is consistent if this is a, if this change occurs, and the specific general plan policies are included in the staff report. Moving on to the change of zone application, it does match completely with the proposed general plan amendment. The zoning is proposed to be R16, which is one family residential, single family homes, and a neighborhood commercial is the proposed zone district. So the primary uses in this zone district are local for the nearby residents, such as a laundromat or a grocery store or something like that. But at this time, the development of the property is not known. But the intent is to develop it as commercial in the future. Last but not least, we have the tentative subdivision map number 6178, showing the subdivision of land to create 150 single-family residential homes, or lots, I should say, and 3 acres of commercial land. Again, the commercial land is identified as a remainder on the plan, so that does mean it will be developed at a future time. And so showing along the left-hand side of the map image you see on the screen is South Frankwood Avenue, and then along the southern border of the image is East South Avenue to kind of orient you to where the map is. So it's shown that there are 2 points of access into the subdivision, one on South Frankwood Avenue and one on East South Avenue, and then the remaining streets are interior residential streets. And then towards the top of the screen, on the left-hand side, there is a storm drain basin that will serve the property and the proposed lots. And the specific findings that need to be made are in the Reedley Municipal Code and the Subdivision Map Act. Those are also included in the staff report. They're listed, and then those determinations are included there. So I can go more specifically into those if you'd like, but it is included in the staff report. A couple of noted conditions of approval for the map. The conditions are also included in the staff report, and there are quite a few of them. But to note, the cross sections that are shown on the screen are the street cross sections proposed for the map. The local streets are 50 feet right of way, and they do not have street trees. It's just monolithic sidewalk for that. But the conditions do state that the developer is encouraged to plant trees within the front yard of the property to provide some shade for that as to replace the street trees. One of the conditions to note is that a CMU block wall will be constructed along Frankwood Avenue, South Avenue, and will be built between the commercial property and the proposed single-family lots to create, to prevent noise from the street and to separate the commercial items from the residential items more than a wood fence. It would be a block wall. And for the street improvements, the Frankwood Avenue and South Avenue will be constructed with per city standard within the limits of the project, but it should be noted that it'll just be the street that is bordering the property. So for Frankwood Avenue, on the other side of the street, that isn't where the city limits is. We don't have jurisdiction there, so we aren't able to build that street out, so it would only be on the side that's bordering the property. So there will be curb gutter sidewalk there. And then South Avenue will be completed in the areas where their existing subdivision is, but where the county limits are, the street won't be complete at that time, but it'll still be a county road, so you can still drive on it, obviously. Moving on to the environmental assessment, number 2017-1. an Appendix G checklist per CEQA guidelines was prepared, and the project was determined to be a subsequent project that was not fully within the scope of the certified program EIR that was prepared for the Reedley General Plan. So the City of Reedley, as a lead agency, proposed to adopt a mitigated negative declaration for the project. And the mitigation measures that were included were related to cultural resources in the event that there are remains or cultural things of cultural significance that are discovered on the site because it's not known whether there's anything there. So if that does happen, proper measures will be taken. And so that's what the mitigation measure says, that if something is found that someone needs to be contacted, an expert, an archaeologist, what have you. A notice of intent to adopt a mitigated negative declaration was filed on November 8th, 2018, and there was a 20-day comment period. Any comments were due by 5 p.m. on November 28th, 2018. Staff did receive a general comment letter from PG&E, just providing general information about their utilities, but the comment letter did not change any impacts that were assessed in the environmental assessment, but staff is still providing it for the record. In addition to the NOI, there was public noticing required at least 10 days prior to the public hearing. So a notice of public hearing was published in the Exponent on November 22nd of 2018, and property owners were mailed a public hearing notice that were within 350 feet of the project. And staff did not receive any comments prior to this meeting on from the public. With that, staff's recommendation that Pete had already kind of read, but I'll summarize very briefly, is all of these items are recommendational to the City Council, and those include the adoption of the Mitigated Negative Declaration, Environmental Assessment 2017-1, the Annexation Application Number 2017-1, the General Plan Amendment, application 2017-1, which I think, I switched those, I apologize, but the general plan amendments on there, as well as the change of zone application 2017-1, and the finally recommending that the City Council approve tentative subdivision map number 6178, and also that the City Council authorize a reorganization application be submitted to LAFCO to annex this property into the City of Reedley. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very, very much. Mm-hmm. Commissioner, any questions or concerns for staff? Or questions for the public as well, too?
I would like to note that we do have representatives from the applicant here tonight. So we have all three gentlemen are associated with this project here, and I'm sure we'd be happy to speak to the project if needed to answer any questions. We've been working with them for quite some time. Yeah, so it's an exciting day to be here.
So if you're asked to answer any questions, if you'll step up to the podium, state your name and who you're with, and we can go from there. You'll also have an opportunity to say anything else that you wish to want us to know.
About the only thing I thought of is our schools and the impact it has on where we are as a community.
Mm-hmm. As far as the schools, the environmental assessment did look at that in the form of impact fees that would be paid. It's about $350 a square foot for residential. And I can't remember what the commercial fee is. But the school district did also provide a comment letter stating that they have acquired land to build a new high school and a middle school. So to help serve students that result from the increase in population for new homes. So the impact fees would go towards building new facilities or however they see fit. So that was mentioned.
Fantastic.
So, Alan,
I'm sorry, Chairman. I was just going to add to that as well that that the school district also does actively work with a consultant that deals with their facilities planning on an ongoing basis. And at least annually, if not more, we touch base with them to make sure that they know exactly how many housing units are going through the approval process, have recently been approved, how many permits have been pulled based upon those approvals. So we work very hard to stay in lockstep with them so that they can stay ahead of the game and make sure that they're planning for any developments coming in and taking those numbers into account as they continue their facilities discussions.
I have one question. With it being in agricultural use right now, were there any underground fuel tanks or above-ground fuel tanks on the property?
If there are, they would have to be abandoned as a result of the development, and which is a condition of approval. But I believe there is, if I remember correctly, there might be some irrigation there, but it would have to be removed.
Anything? I just have one. I didn't see a letter from the PD. Did the PD have an opportunity to respond to this?
Yes, they did. Staff does route the project scope around to police department, fire department, public works, pretty much every department within the city. The police department did not provide any comments on the project. They did review it and didn't see any concerns with it. The main thing that the police department looks at and emergency services in general is that there's two points of access into the subdivision, and so that was achieved as part of the map. So.
Is there anything else before I turn it over to the public comment section? So at this time, I'll open up the public comment section. Gentlemen, this is your turn to speak up and let us know what your plans are, or if you have any questions of us or things that we would want to know.
Great. Good evening, Planning Commission, City staff. My name is David Duda. I'm with Four Creeks, the consultant, working with the property owner and home builder. And we've been working closely with staff, Rob, Ellen, and John, city engineer, over the last, two and a half years, trying to dial in the right subdivision fit for home builder, city, and a good fit for the community. And feel we've done that. We are in agreement with city's staff report and conditions, and definitely they're excited to move this project forward. So as soon as possible, once the project's approved, home builder's ready to get the project going, so it's not going to sit stagnant after approval. That's all I got. If there's any other questions, I can come up and try to answer them. And thank you.
Hi, my name is Jim Robinson. I'm with San Joaquin Valley Homes. Our office is in Visalia. We currently build in Visalia, Tulare, Hanford, Kingsburg, and Dinuba. And then we are also down in Kern County and Bakersfield. We're excited about moving north into Reedley. This is a subdivision that we've looked at and been excited about it for about a year that we've been involved with this. And so we're moving forward with our final map and improvement drawings while this is going through the annexation process, assuming that it is approved by this body and by the city council in the near future. So we're excited about being here. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you might have regarding our company or what we build or anything like that. We are in support of the staff report and all the work that everybody's done on this. So with that being said, I'll answer any questions that you might have of me.
What's the average square footage of your homes?
About 1,700 square feet. Our houses usually start in about 1,450 to 1,500, and they go up to 2,100, 2,400. It kind of depends, but the average is right around at 1,750.
I think we're good.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is J.R. Shannon. I'm one of the property owners that own the parcel. I just want to thank Rob and Alan and staff for all you guys have been great to work with over the past year, year and a half, as we've been trying to make this project happen. So I want to thank you and staff for all your hard work. My family, we're based out of Visalia. We're a farming family, but we have done some commercial projects, and we're very proud of our family's name and heritage, and all our projects that we do, we take a lot of respect into. And so with this project, I think you'll be very pleased to see what Jim and Will provide the city of Reedley. Planning Commissioner Barcelos, she's actually been down and seen some of our family stuff in the past too, and we look forward to doing this project, and it's been a year and a half coming, and we're excited to finally be there. So thank you guys.
Thank you very much. So with that being said, if there's no other further questions, I will close the public portion of this meeting, and what we'll do here is the staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions, and basically we'll adopt these sections of C through H through resolution number 2018-16, and I turn it over to the commissioners for your wishes. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second?
I'll second.
Roll.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Done deal. Thank you very, very, very much. And good luck to both, all three of you. We look forward to it. All right, so let me see, future agenda items. Do we have anything in that area? I know that we're not gonna meet on the 20th. January 3rd is canceled, so the next one is potentially January 17th, folks?
Correct, yes, we're done with planning commission items for the year. It may be moved to February 7th, but the earliest we will meet is on the 7th.
Very good. You have any reports, Rob?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Reed Avenue is finished. Of course you've noticed.
Right? Have we noticed? Really? I've been going around for a while.
You completed that a long time ago.
It's fabulous.
It's amazing as soon as it's open that it feels like it's been done for a long time, right?
Yeah, nobody's, yeah.
Yeah. There are still some small items that need to happen, what they commonly refer to as checklist items, but they're items that are off of the side of the road and the periphery. Before they actually went back and did all the pavement work, they did all of the undergrounding of the utilities, but it takes the utility companies a significant amount of time to actually come in and then get their wires put into the ground. While that won't have any impact to shutting down the road or tearing anything up of that nature, if you do see some trucks out there, they're dealing with signs and then taking down some of those power poles and things like that. So don't be surprised if you see that over the next couple months, but we've got a great new road there, it's grateful to have it. No more free massages when you drive down Reed Avenue, which is what it felt like at times, right? As Ellen had talked about, the tentative date for the Button Willow project is on January 17th. That you'll see again, and we had told you guys about this in the last couple of meetings, that we know that we're going to see some annexation activity happening over the next year plus, and that's simply because we're bumping up against the capacity of inside the city limits. I've said it before, and will reiterate again, that is a very good problem to have if you have been building appropriately and you've been supporting the infrastructure in the way that the city of Reedley has. We have a great engineering team, an amazing public works team. And because of that, it seems that we have always been able to make sure that we are taking care of what we have in the ground before we look to grow. But now we've gotten to the point where we need to grow. We simply need the room. Thanksgiving dinner has been too big, and we got to loosen the belt a little bit, I guess. So so that's some of the activity that we're seeing there, but it's a great thing for the community. Want to confirm that on November 14th, LAFCO did officially approve the Manning and Button Willow annexation. That was the one that was associated with the United Health Center project. So there is a 30-day wait time that ends up happening for that one. So December 14th, if there are no complications or anything that comes back to LAFCO, they refer to that as their cooling-off period, then it would officially be stamped and considered the new city boundary.
And building can start at that time?
UHC is working right now on all of their improvement plans. They will, of course, run those through engineering and community development. We make sure that everything is in line with the conditions of approval. Engineering buys off, signs off on all of the designs themselves. And then they will actually enter into what's called an improvement agreement with us, which will allow them to build the public improvements and work on their private development concurrently. It gives us assurance that the items will be completed. So they're working on all of that right now. We've already sent them a draft of that agreement for them to have their legal start to review and exactly what it'll look like. So I anticipate that we'll see that. I would think in mid to late January would be the time that they'll have those items wrapped up. The holidays always kind of throw things off for a couple weeks, as you know. And then I wanted to give you guys an update, too, on the grant that we had received from the state to do the Farmland Preservation Program. If you guys remember that, we received that or were awarded, given the notice of award, well over a year ago, I believe, at this point. And, of course, we anticipated to begin that in early fiscal year, potentially, you know, two or three months into this fiscal year. And communications with the state have just been very, very challenging. So they had several people that were retiring at the same time, and it seems like ours is one of the grants that was awarded that got lost in the shuffle of that. They brought on some new staff that has tried to communicate with us but has had some red tape challenges as they're trying to get items ready. So we still have not even seen a draft agreement from the state yet. So I wanted you guys to at least be aware. The reason why we haven't been bringing anything to you or talking about it anyways, because we still don't even have an agreement in place with the state. So we're continually working toward it. I bug them on a weekly basis. Sometimes they respond and sometimes they don't. But they very clearly communicated that there's no concern on their side. They just dropped. In fact, they actually said it was six applications that literally fell through the cracks. And ours just happened to be one of those six. So
is there a time frame that says, okay, by X amount of time after the grant process has completed, that something has to move forward?
Not on their side. There's no time frame that we have to enter into an agreement, but there is a time from when we sign the agreement that the dollars have to be spent. Mm. My concern with them taking this long to get into that agreement is on the back end as well, with all state funding, there is always a requirement for something that was awarded in a certain fiscal year. It can only be live for so many years. And so if we were to hit, now this project was supposed to be in between 9 and 12 months in its timing, so thank goodness it's not a real long planning project. If it were 2+ years, I would be really concerned, because typically it's 5 years with the state, and they do not give exceptions very often. In this case, they very well might, because it's been, you know, everything on their side to even get us an agreement. Even so, it's not common. I've had a lot of conversations with the state with other programs before, and it seems extremely difficult to get an extension. All that said, though, we're still working to move forward with that. We applied for it on purpose. It's something that was in our mitigation and monitoring program for the general plan. So we intend to continue pushing forward with that, but just wanted to make sure you guys knew why you had not heard any updates about that. That's the reason why. And we'll keep you updated if we do finally learn anything substantial in that regard. I'll make sure that comes right back to you guys. And that's it. Aside from that, hope everybody just has a wonderful holidays.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ron.
Just if you have it off the top of your head,
How many residential lots do we have cooking now?
150.
It is just under approved or
both combined.
We are looking in the hopper and approved about 900.
Wow.
Now, when we say approved, I mean that includes maps that have been approved for some time, and there has not been any movement on them. Of those that are either going through the process or recently approved, I anticipate that we will see roughly 300 of those build in the next, 18 months or so.
When you say 900, I guess I lost track because I have four areas that I'm thinking of, because we were involved with them. But what other?
There's been some that have been on the books for a while,
like Blossom Trail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, those could come alive. They could.
Okay.
Yep.
I apologize.
No problem.
That's no problem.
Something's going on at the restaurant. Gotta go.
All right.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
And this would have been a zoo of a day if my back fence, it's only been up less than a month, my dog didn't break through it, and I didn't have to call my neighbor and say, get over here. This has been one of those days.
We get it.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to the Planning Commission, Bill.
Thank you.
I haven't seen you in years, but welcome to our little group.
Yeah, so we had Blossom Trail, Monta Vista. I'd have to go back through and look. Yeah. And then, of course, you always have the subdivisions that have been approved, some of them going back into the 80s, that still have one or two lots as you're driving through that you'll see.
We see a lot of them, mm-hmm.
We also do have the subdivision map from Kings River Village. I think that was about 300 units.
That's a big one, yeah.
That's a big one. And then the one that we might look at in January, February is 180.
An old one?
On top. That's on top.
That's on top
of the 900.
Okay. Yep. I think so, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Holy man.
And that could be active within the next couple of years.
Yeah, that applicant has been very, very proactive. Yeah, very, very consistent. They follow up in a very, very timely manner. So I think that we'll see a lot of serious movement on that one.
I have a question that may be a little bit out of your area, but I know that you will know being on staff. Do we still have a grant writer?
We actually utilize the services of Townsend Public Affairs.
Right.
But we do coordinate directly with them as staff. So, like, for instance, with the Farmland Preservation Program, grant that we did, her and I wrote that together. So typically you'll have one staff member that will be leading and working with Townsend.
From what I understand, there's a possibility that we may get a recreational grant to hopefully finish the sports complex. Am I on the right track?
I know they're always looking for grant opportunities to do more to the sports park and to push that master plan further and further along. Sarah Reed, the community services director, she would be the one that would know exactly what grants they may be looking into at any given time. But I know that the eyes are always open for that. And they work with Townsend, I would say, at least twice a year on something that is related to an amenity for the sports park.
Well, I wasn't here at that meeting, but I understand somebody came and made a presentation that there is potentially a grant in the future that we would want to apply for. Do you remember that meeting?
I don't specifically, but like I said, there's actually a lot of different programs that you can utilize for that. It just depends on if it's a federal or a state, then of course they have all of their regulations and stipulations that are attached to that program. You have to be able to fit within the envelope of what they're looking to do. But Reedley is typically very, very well positioned for those items, as are many communities in the San Joaquin Valley.
Anything for the good of the cause? Are you completely satisfied with the staff here? We won't have to replace them for next year. We're
no,
okay.
They're good for me.
Okay, good enough. All right. Well. Welcome aboard,
Thank
Bill.
You.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And
wish you all a happy new year and a Merry Christmas. And with that, I'll adjourn this meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.